Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, happy Friday, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling that's getting kind of crazy at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A lot to get to. So let's get right to it, and let's start with breaking news that the WWE has apparently pulled all of the Sting merchandise off of their shop zone. Folks, there's only one reason why you do that, and that is Sting is no longer under contract to the WWE. So I didn't have any idea when Sting's contract was up, or if he had a Legends contract, or if there was any sort of renewal necessary for the next how many ever years, but apparently something is up, because the WWE does not pull your merchandise if you are a member of their roster. So apparently Sting is a free agent. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. We'll find out, and we'll give you more about that on Sunday. I know Sting did say he was kind of hoping for one more match, and there was some rumor that it could be a cinematic match with The Undertaker. Doesn't look like that's going to happen if you've pulled the merchandise from the shop zone. So I think it's safe to say that Sting right now, at least, is no longer under a WWE contract. That's a little bit of a minor point, I guess, compared to what happened today. And what happened today is that the Twitch counts from WWE superstars began to be pulled down by WWE. Now, AJ Styles made a statement saying it's not goodbye, it's just see you later, we'll figure this out, and the WWE will come to some kind of a mutual agreement, I'm sure, and we'll figure something out and get back on this. Aleister Black and Zelina Vega, who have theirs, was unlistenable. They just kept saying, we don't know. We don't know exactly what's happening. We're trying to bring you all the information, but we don't know. And then Zelina Vega would interrupt Aleister Black and say, yeah, but the important thing is to tell the people that we don't know. That's true. We don't know. At this point, we're in the dark. We haven't really been told anything. So, you know, at this point, we really don't know. And Zelina would say, that's true. We really don't know. This could be goodbye, or it may not be. We don't know. If they said we don't know one more time, I would have smashed my television set. Some people are just not meant for Twitch. We get it. You don't know. Paige got emotional. Dropped the F-bomb about, 700 times in 30 seconds. Basically said, well, I can't wrestle, and you won't use me on television, and the only connection I still have with my fans is Twitch, and you're taking that away from me. And all of this may sound horrible and terrible and evil and mean and greedy and corporate and you name it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say just this about it. No one can take away your Twitch account. No one can take away your Twitch account if you aren't making any money. The idea behind it isn't that we're trying to isolate you from your fans. Otherwise, they take away your Facebook accounts. They take away any kind of messengers you had. They don't want you making money. They don't want AJ Styles making money off being a WWE superstar that he does not have to share with the WWE from an alternate source. So I found out Twitch subscriptions can run pretty high, and you can make some serious money. And some of these guys got many, 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 many subscribers. So they're making a good little bit of change. And the WWE saying, what the hell, man? You're making a good bit of change off of being a WWE superstar, and you're not cutting us in on the deal. So here's a thought. demonetize yourself. That's all. Everything's free. If the only reason you're doing this is to connect with your fans, do it for free. Maybe you can't do it as often. Fine. Say, okay, once a week I'll put something up, you know. Since I'm not making any money, I can't do it all the time. But once a week I'll put something up for you guys. You know, not one person mentioned in their closing Twitch statements, I'm going to be losing a lot of money here. Nobody said that. They all said, you know, we missed talking to the fans. It was like one big family. We built up such a wonderful group, and we look so much forward to coming on here. Well, okay, keep coming on. Just tell them the subscriptions are free. Everything's free. We're demonetizing. Everything's free. What's WWE going to do about that? Take a cut of nothing? Oh, wait a minute. You don't want to do that, you say. I wonder why. So before you start talking about the WWE being greedy, let's talk about these athletes who are saying, yeah, it's all about the connection with the fans as long as they pay me. You know, that's a little disingenuous too. AJ Styles could say, hey, I'm going on my messenger. I'm going on a Facebook messenger or something once a week, and I'll talk to all you fans. I'll go Facebook Live. Free. Totally free. And talk to you fans. You won't, because you're not making any money. So before you pull that sympathy card of boo-hoo-hoo, all these wonderful people that I've come to know as a second family, we are being torn away from. Before Paige drops another 650 F-bombs, what's to stop you from doing that, Paige? What's to stop you from saying every single person on this Twitch channel will be receiving my messenger, or my social media that I'm going to go on once a week and hold Q&As and talk? Oh, I know what's stopping you. There is no financial remuneration. You won't be getting the fat paycheck for doing it. So I'm sorry. I don't have sympathy for you. You're making enough money as it is. You want to go? I would have legitimate sympathy if you said, well, this is all free. I never made a dime off this. The WWE just doesn't want me interacting with fans. And I used to come on once a week and interact with fans totally on my own time, totally for no money. And they told me I can't do it anymore. Then I'd say, well, that's heavy-handed and ridiculous. But that's not why you're doing it. Don't lie. This is a second income. Same way with Cameo. It's not like you say, hey, man, I'm a big fan. Can you drop me a happy birthday? No. Give me $300, and I'll drop you a happy birthday. It's a second income. There's a lot of places who say you can't have a job outside this job. You want to make a bet with me. You want to make a bet with me that if a Major League Baseball pitcher said in the offseason, I'm going to be a bouncer or a bodyguard, the Major League Baseball is going to say, oh, no, you're not. Absolutely out of the question. Because if you get injured in any way, shape, or form, that's our ass. You're not doing that. You don't need a second job as that. So why are we angry with the WWE for simply telling these guys, look, you're making a good amount of money off Cameo and Twitch, and we're not going to allow it anymore? Because technically the only reason you're making that money is because you're with us. Now, maybe they'll come to an agreement where they get half the money, or I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. That's what AJ Styles seems to think, is that there's going to be some sort of a happy medium achieved at some point where they can continue to do this and both sides will make a little bit of money off of it, and it'll be fine. Maybe it will be. But at the end of the day, I want the fans to understand something very, very clearly. Do not feel sorry for Paige, who's boo-hoo-hooing. Do not feel sorry for Aleister Black and Zelina Vega, who are somewhere in their apartment still saying, I don't know. Don't feel sorry for AJ Styles, who's saying, this isn't farewell, it's just goodbye for now. Because these people would not have done this if there wasn't a large financial compensation. They may have liked doing what they're doing. I'm not saying they didn't like interacting with fans. Maybe they did. But what I am telling you is that they would never have done it had there not been money involved. In other words, AJ Styles didn't sit at his computer one day and say, it would be a nice thing if I could just interact with my fan base and just talk to them. Maybe I'll do that once a week. No money. I'll just do that. I'll take an hour out of my day once a week and have a nice chat with my fan base. He didn't do that. Went and got the Twitch money. That's what he did. Or, you know what, I'll go on Cameo and for $100, I'll say happy birthday to somebody, but I'll donate it all to Connor's Cure or the Susan G. Komen Foundation so that I'm not really getting anything. And I'll only do a limited amount. I'll just say I'm going to do, 10 a month or something, whatever. No, can't do that. So who's really the greedy people? So, Mike, I guess all of the Twitch channels and Cameo channels are being closed down, at least temporarily, but I have a different take on this than most. There's a lot of people writing me saying WWE is ridiculous and it's going to hurt their fan base, and maybe it is. And it's ridiculous, the wrestlers can't do this. I want people to understand the wrestlers didn't do this out of the kindness of their heart.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, what kind of channel is Xavier? Where is Xavier working? Is he on YouTube?
His is YouTube. YouTube.
His is YouTube. Okay. So his is YouTube. It's totally. I know that.
I think he has Twitch too, though.
Yeah, I know Miro has a Twitch channel, but I don't know if he makes money. But these guys. There are other places that do the exact same thing. You mentioned Cameo. There's this other place called V-Live that does the exact same thing. You can pay the guy to listen to their show, whatever. So yeah, there are other places. Man, these guys are almost like greedy. I mean, I kind of look. Paige is you're not paying me. They're basically paying Paige not to wrestle, right?
Yes.
So she shouldn't have an argument with giving up that money. Now, the others, I'm not sure about that. I kind of agree with AJ. I think AJ may be right on this, that there's going to be a happy medium, mentioned. So I kind of agree with AJ Styles on this.
I do, too. I think the WWE realizes it's a good way to expand their fan base and keep their fan base loyal. I think they'd have to be idiots not to understand that. But at the same time, I understand their position. And their position is, as a business, you are making side money off of us. Not off of you, off of us. Because we're promoting you, and then you're using that promotion to go do things that make you money. I'll tell you a great story about this that will illustrate exactly what I'm talking about. When Al Snow was in the ECW, they had no such provisions. So a friend of mine who owns a small business wanted to hire some wrestlers from ECW who was going to be in the area to come do a meet and greet. And Al Snow was one of them. We did this probably 2 months ahead of time, planned it 2 months ahead of time. And I went in with them on it. About a month before it happened, Al Snow contacted us and said, I've been re-signed to WWE, and I'm not allowed to do this event. But I committed to doing it, and I know you guys made up the posters and everything, so I'm still going to do it. But I got to do it on the hush-hush. So you can't put, like, WWE star on the poster or anything like that. And I'm really not supposed to be doing this, and I'm really risking getting a major fine and everything. So if we could try to just, low-key it as much as possible. And he did come and do it. And he honored his commitment because he said, I made the commitment prior to, and I'm not sure the WWE would allow me to honor it because they'd say you have enough time to cancel. But I know you guys already made up the posters and stuff, so I'm going to go ahead and honor it. But it's, you know, tricky. And I'll tell you another story. The federation that I was involved in at the time went to a convention, and one of the owners of the federation wanted the Honky Tonk Man to cut a promo for us, saying, you're watching our particular wrestling show. Sitting alongside him was a WWE official, and the Honky Tonk Man said, I can't do it. I'm not allowed to plug anybody else's wrestling federation for anything, not even for the amount of, you know, the picture and the whatever. I'm sorry, I can't do it. About 2 minutes later, we were still hanging around, and that official got up and went to the bathroom, and the Honky Tonk Man said, hurry up, do it now. And he cut the promo for us. And he said, I really can't do it. I'm not supposed to do it because these are stipulations in the contract that we're not supposed to do X, Y, and Z. So this has existed for a long time. This is not like this just cropped up yesterday. There's a lot of provisions in these contracts saying you can't make outside money doing this, that, and the other thing. In other words, the Honky Tonk Man can't say, hey, I'm coming to your car dealership as the Honky Tonk Man, and you're going to give me $1,000 to sign autographs, and the WWE gets a zero. That's not the way it works. You have to contact the WWE. They'll give you the prices and the things of the Honky Tonk Man or anybody else you want, and then they get a cut of that. That's how it works. No one forced you to sign these contracts. I understand that Paige wants to connect with her fans and do it for free. This is exactly what I'm telling you. There is no one and nothing. That's not the Supreme Court of the United States would not tell you any different. You have the right as an individual to talk to whoever you want to talk to. No one can tell you not to talk to somebody. So get online and say, I'm holding a chat with my fans. And it's going to be from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And it's going to be a video chat. They can't stop you from doing that. No one in the world can stop you from doing that. No one can stop you from doing that. What they can stop you from doing is charging for it or getting compensated for it. And that's why the Honky Tonk Man didn't charge us. He said, I'll just cut the promo. I didn't get anything for it, so it doesn't matter. This is exactly why I'm telling you don't shed any tears for these wrestlers. Now, Derek in the chat room said, you know, they're Roman Reigns and John Cena and all these other people do all these charity work. They don't get paid for it. Yeah, exactly. So if you want to go on Cameo tomorrow, I don't know how the WWE could stop you. If you said, I'm going on Cameo and I'm charging $100, and every penny of that $100, other than what Cameo takes, they must take something, every penny of what I would receive is going to the Susan G. Komen Foundation or the Make-A-Wish Foundation or the Connors Cure Foundation in the name of WWE. There's absolutely no one can stop you. You absolutely not possible. So if you really just wanted to do it to interact with your fans, you have other options to do it. Go on YouTube and refuse monetization. Go on YouTube and say, we're going to do a live YouTube chat. No monetization. It's all free just because I want to interact with my fans. You won't do it because you're not getting paid. I don't give a damn what anybody says. You want me to blow the whistle on people? I'll blow the whistle on people. Some people I respect and admire, but I don't respect and admire some of the things they did. There's no bigger Mick Foley fan than me. But I was at an autograph signing with Mick Foley, who was charging $15 for an autograph, and two little kids came around, couldn't have been no more than 9 years old, didn't have a dime, and he refused to sign anything for them. And his rationale was it wouldn't be fair to the people who's paying. Because I jumped them about it and said, I mean, would it kill you? And he said, well, but it wouldn't be fair to the people in line. What would they say? How come I'm being charged and they're not? Because they're little kids and they're poor. That's why. and I think everybody would have applauded. Now, he could also say, well, it's not fair to the promoter because, you know, he's paying me. And he's not getting that $30 now if I waste his time to do it. Okay, well, then you know what? You take a bathroom break. You say, hey, I'm taking a bathroom break. I'm signing these kids' autographs on my way to the bathroom. Then you're not taking up his time. Saw Damian Sandow, Aaron Rex, at a wrestling event. Same exact situation. Little kid in line. Had no idea that you didn't get to meet and greet these people for free. Had a Damian Sandow action figure he wanted him to sign. Didn't realize that it was $15. Had no money. Parents had no money. And Sandow said, doesn't matter. I'll sign it. And took a picture. And guess what? Nobody in the line said that I don't want to be charged. Everybody in line said that was an awesome thing to do. And I, for one, when it was, because I think my turn was next, I said, I'll pay for it if you really think you'll get in trouble for it. And he said, no, don't worry about it. So there you go, folks. There are a lot of these people who the main thing on their mind is, how much money can I shovel out of these fans? How much can I bleed them dry? And then there are some people who say, well, this is a good situation. The fans want to meet me. I want to meet the fans, but I also get paid for it. So it's not like I'm, you know, wasting time or not doing anything creative or whatever. I understand that too. I guess my point is, if what you miss is not the money, if what you miss is the interaction with the fans, you still have plenty of options. So, Todd, I'm not really that upset about this. I mean, they could still talk to their fans if they want to.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they could still talk to their fans if they want to. And when we went to that one wrestling event in Poughkeepsie, what Damian Sandow did was a class act. I applaud him for that.
Question about it. Yeah, you were there with me. You saw exactly what happened. That's called, I care about the fans more than I care about a few bucks in my pocket. Now, I understand that you can't just sign everybody's autograph for free, because you got a promoter. Like when I hired Al Snow and a couple other people from ECW, you had to pay them. And the money, the $5, $10, $15 they were getting for signing autographs didn't go to them, went to us. Because they already got their pay. All we were hoping for is to break even or maybe make a little bit of a profit. And we couldn't do that if they signed everybody's autograph for free. But do you think for 1 minute that if a couple of kids stumbled in there who had no money, I would have said, no, no, don't sign that. The 10 seconds it takes for you to sign that is money out of my pocket. Of course I wouldn't. And I don't know anybody else that would either. So that's a lame excuse. It's a lame excuse, period. So Paige can cry all she wants. Paige, you can get on YouTube tomorrow and hold a very free, long chat with every single person who is currently on your Twitch channel if they want to tune into your live chat. Aleister Black can do it too. Zelina Vega can do it too. AJ Styles can do it too. You all can do it. Truth of the matter is, you don't want to do it. So we'll see where the WWE goes with this. Next thing up we want to talk about, of course, is the AEW NXT ratings, and this week wasn't close. This week NXT took it by a lot, about 150,000. Of course, they had their special Halloween Havoc. So it was built up quite a bit, and it was almost like a little mini pay-per-view, so you kind of expected that they were going to get a boost, that NXT would get a boost. But here's what I didn't expect. I didn't expect AEW to drop. In other words, I thought AEW would hold steady at about 850. And I thought extra people would come to NXT that don't watch AEW anyway and really don't watch NXT that much, but because of the hype said maybe I'll watch it this week. That's not what happened. About 100,000 less people than normally watch AEW, switched over and watched NXT. So this is what we know. There's about 1.6 million people who watch both shows. It's not going up or down. It's just bouncing back and forth. You take those 1.6 million and divide them any way you want. A million for AEW, 600,000 for NXT, 800,000 each, 700,000, 900,000. Whatever it happens to be, it's the same 1.6 million people. It's the same people. So at this stage of the game, I don't see either one growing. I don't see the growth, and this is well over a year for AEW, and right now I'm not seeing the growth. I'm seeing that same exact amount of people divided whichever way the wind blows on any given week. Most of the time that wind blows to AEW, but it's still the same numbers. So are we ever going to see 2 million divided equally among these? It doesn't look like it. Because we're not seeing that growth. We would have seen growth if AEW stood at their 850,000 that they normally do, or 870,000, and then we saw 800,000 to 900,000 for NXT. Because then we would have said, well, there's a jump of about 100,000 people. It's not what happened. What happens very clear. You have a pool of people who are wrestling fans, and they make their decision on what they're going to watch on Wednesday. No more people are entering the mix. And if you want the brighter side of this, nobody's leaving the mix. It's still the same people, and they're all watching on Wednesday. It just depends on what they want to watch. So, Mike, I think this in some ways is bad news for both companies because it means they're not gaining fans. They're just splitting the currently existing ones.
Right. And I think it's even worse news for the WWE because they have to pull all the stops to get to the 850,000 they got to, whatever.
Right.
I mean, this was a special event. Of course, and look, this is basically what Impact used to do with those pre-per-views. This was basically a pre-per-view, all right?
Right.
Okay. So what's going to happen next week when that 100,000 that they got, 150,000 that WWE got, leaves? You know, this week it goes back from 850,000 or 825,000 to
mid-7. Right. I mean, here's the deal. Now the WWE has to hope, well, those people watched us. Maybe we hooked them, and they won't go back next week. But the likelihood is that they will. Time and time again, we've seen it. There's about 100,000 person difference between the viewership of AEW and NXT in AEW's favor. That 100,000 difference tuned into NXT this week because they wanted to see this Halloween Havoc thing. I don't have any faith that they're going to tune in next week when it's back to normal. Did they catch them with anything special? It was a good event, but did they catch them with anything super special? No, they didn't. I doubt it anyway. But in some ways, I think it's equally bad news for both federations because what it shows for AEW is if the WWE really wants to and pulls out the stops, they can beat us. Even when we're trying to set up for our pay-per-view. And for the WWE, it's we have to pull out all the stops to beat them. And for both federations together, it's our fan base is not increasing. It's just being split in a different direction. And I would have thought that both federations would have hoped that their fan base and pro wrestling fans in general who tune into pro wrestling on a weekly basis would have increased. Now, speaking of that, WWE had their quarterly profit analysis thing here this week. And Vince McMahon kind of poo-pooed Raw's ratings by saying, well, it is what it is. But we have proof that we have more fans than we've ever had. That's the exact words coming out of Vince McMahon's mouth. We have solid proof based on WWE subscriptions and based on all these other intangibles that we have actually have more fans currently of our product than we've ever had before. And not one of these investors had the balls to say, if you have more fans than you've ever had before, then what? How do you explain the fact they're not watching? Because that doesn't make any sense. If I can prove that I have 1 million fans of this radio show and there's 100,000 people listening, something's wrong. Something's mad wrong. But nobody asked him that question. They really don't care because he's shoveling profits up their nose. So he could have told them the sky is green and it's made out of cheese, and they would have said, that's cool, hand me my check. Because they turned a ridiculous profit. The pandemic has actually been a plus for the WWE. It has kept their travel expenses way down. It's kept their rentals of halls and all that kind of stuff to zero, literally. See, I told you this for a long time. The WWE isn't making no money on house shows. By the time they schlep everybody out there, by the time they rent the halls, by the time they rent the crews, by the time they do all of the intangibles that cost them up the wazoo and charge you $30 to come see it, they're lucky if they break even. They only do it to try to promote the pay-per-views and to try to promote their network. It's almost like we're doing this for free. It's just advertising. So when they don't have to do it anymore, of course they're going to make more money. Of course they're going to. Now, the WWE realizes they need fans desperately, but it's not because of finance. They just realize that if the fans don't get back to the arenas and feel that energy and that pulse that it used to be, they're going to get less and less and less fans. People are going to fall off. That's why they need the fans. It's not financial, believe me. It's not financial at all. I told you for a long time, the WWE's main source of income is not you. And that's why you're the least important thing to them when you could still come to the arena and they could still feed off your input. That's what you were important for, your input, your reactions, and just the look how many people have come to see us. It's good for sponsors. It's good for whatever. Your money wasn't doing anything. Because they're getting their money from other sources. Advertisers, networks, Saudi Arabia, you name it. Doesn't have much to do with you. So this is what we're stuck with now. Is that the WWE takes a look at their profit margin and says, whoa. It is what it is. We don't even care if anybody's watching at this point. So what? USA is locked into a contract. They ain't going nowhere. They can't do anything. SmackDown ratings are up, and we're okay. WWE subscriptions are up because people are doing less when everything is closed. See, this is what I tried to get across to all of you people who don't seem to understand. When everything in the world is closed because of COVID, except huge conglomerates like Amazon, Walmart, WWE. Who do you think's making all the money? Is it mom and pop? Or is it the huge conglomerates? There are people saying, oh, I'll just order all my shit off Amazon and I don't need to go to mom and pop store. I'll just, subscribe to the WWE network and I don't have to worry about going to indie shows. I'll get my wrestling fixed there. You see how that works? So if this pandemic has done anything, it's taking the competition away from the huge conglomerates, totally taking the competition away. That's why the WWE is sitting on a gold mine at a time when they can't even run live shows. Wouldn't be that way if everything was back to normal. Amazon wouldn't be reporting record numbers of orders that they can't even fill. They've got so many orders. Oh, look what happened. The pandemic came in and we got to be trillionaires all over again because you have to order from us. You can't go down to this mom and pop store because the mom and pop store is not allowed to be open. We are, though. So this is where we got a little bit of a problem. WWE made so much money this quarter. Are you ready for this? They made so much money this quarter that if they took 2% of it, they could have hired back every single person they fired for the length of a 3-year contract. Every single person. So, Mike, the pandemic's not been really that hard on WWE.
No, it really hasn't. And furthermore, to your point, places like AEW, ROH, and Impact need to be open. They're the underdogs. They're the smaller groups. You know, they need to be open. Tony Khan only has so much patience and so much money. I mean, yeah, he's a billionaire, but he only invested so much money in AEW. He needs AEW to be open. He needs things to be. He needs things to be open. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. They could have 2%. 2% of whatever profit they made. They could have used that 2% to keep, you know, Keith Slater, all these other people that left.
Yes. And it's a shame, and you're absolutely correct. Tony Khan, if it hadn't been for the TV deal, there wouldn't be any AEW right now. AEW would cease to exist because their only financial remuneration would be on live shows and can't do any. At least right now, they're getting money from the network. This is going to be hard on all these other fledgling. It killed NWA. You see what happened to NWA, right? You still got Billy Corgan floating around saying it's not dead. Well, where is it then? Everybody else is running. How come you're not? If it's not dead, it's dead. Speaking of which, Thunder Rosa, who appeared in AEW a few times in losing efforts, lost again this week, and the word is she's on her way to WWE. Now, her exact words were, Impact, AEW, and WWE all expressed interest. AEW expressed the most interest, and I'm sitting by the phone waiting for them to call. Well, she dropped her belt. I don't see them calling. So my thought is that she's WWE bound because I've heard nothing about Impact, and I've heard a lot about possible WWE interest in Thunder Rosa, which is a really good pickup. Now, I'm going to tell you the blatant truth, and it's probably going to hurt some people's feelings. AEW is not serious about their women's division. Doesn't mean they don't have some good women wrestlers. It means they're not serious about their women's division. Their women's matches are always either for somebody else's title that has nothing to do with AEW, or it's the match before the feature match. Very few of them even have separate feuds, or they're not serious about their women's division. Anyone who's serious about their women's division would certainly hire Thunder Rosa. Anybody who's serious about their women's division would try to make an olive branch apiece with Tessa Blanchard and try to get top stars. Like, they're not trying anymore. They're not trying. And the reason they're not trying is they have made a decision, and the decision is people aren't all that interested in women's wrestling. They're saying what the Sandman said and got in trouble for it, which I told you is the truth. And that is, with just a very few exceptions, you will not draw if your main event is a woman's match. I'm sorry, you won't. Now, you could, if you say, well, it's Ronda Rousey in a rematch against Becky Lynch, yeah, that's going to draw. Maybe Bayley and Sasha Banks, that's going to draw. Maybe Tessa Blanchard, Charlotte Flair, that'll draw. But that's just three matches. And how many women wrestlers are there? If you say, you know, Carmella's going to take on, I don't know, let's say Natty, you think that's going to draw? I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not going to draw. There's not enough female superstars, is what I'm saying, that have that high exposure that will draw a large crowd. And AEW has figured, we're going to cut our losses here. We have Britt Baker. We have a couple of more people, but it's not our main function. It's not what we do. We don't do it well. And to be honest, they don't do it well. I'm not saying their wrestlers aren't good. There have been some brilliant women's matches. But then they don't do anything with them. It's not like they continue a feud. It's not like they really branch things out. It's just like, wasn't that a good match? Okay, under the men. I don't think AEW is serious about their women's division, Todd, and I don't think they've been serious about it since, probably 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with about the women's division. And they got a lot of great female competitors over there. But they don't use them correctly. They're not serious. And it's ridiculous for the last few months.
I would say this. Lana is getting more television exposure and more of a storyline than top flight female wrestlers in AEW, Mike.
She really is. And that's the thing. And the more she gets, and look, she's another one that, going back to what we talked about earlier, she's on YouTube. She does. I've watched some of those videos. She does talk with the fans. They don't talk back, but they can talk back to her through the chat. But she does talk to the fans. And so there's a, by the way,
right,
on her YouTube channel too. So yeah. But you're right. Hikaru Shida.
But other than that, we've talked about even TNA has a better women's division, and nobody sees it. It's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah, look, I don't think AEW. I warned everybody about AEW, and I said all the promises they're making, they're not going to be able to keep. Everybody's going to be treated equally. Everybody's getting equal, but women are getting equal pay. The men are getting... No, you're not. Stop it. Stop it already. We already knew that wasn't the case. We already knew that's not true. You can't run a successful federation that way. At the end of the day, you have to make money. At the end of the day, you're still a business. That would be like saying, well, I'm going to open up a Major League Baseball franchise, and peanut vendors are going to get paid the same amount of money as the managers. No. Now, before people say, well, you can't compare female wrestlers to peanut vendors, yeah, I can. And I'll tell you why. Because I know just as many people who say, man, I love going to the ballpark and getting those peanuts, as I do saying, man, I love watching my team lose 64-0. So, yeah, I can. I don't know any people who tune into wrestling and say, can't wait to see Nyla Rose. No, I don't know that many people who do that. I don't know any people who do that. Becky Lynch in her heyday, I knew people who said, I'm tuning in to watch Becky Lynch. I would argue that Becky Lynch was probably the biggest female draw, maybe ever. I can't think of another one. You could say Ronda Rousey when she first showed up because people were so curious about, well, how's this going to work? I mean, is she just going to go in there and really tap people out, or what the hell is going to happen? So she might have, in her early stages, drew as many people as Becky Lynch. Not toward the end. Becky Lynch was probably the most successful female wrestler as far as fan base and drawing people I've ever seen. ever seen. And that includes Fabulous Moolah and all those people, because back then wrestling, no one really cared about the female wrestlers. That was just like a sideshow. Oh, there'll be a female match too. Won't that be cool? Yeah. Nobody took that as serious. Now that it's equal to the men's division, I do think Becky Lynch was the most successful at it. By far. And most of that was because of her personality and her charisma and that kind of stuff. Not because she was the best female wrestler. Asuka can approach that. But see, Asuka did it in a different way. Asuka took the ball into her own hands and said, well, I'm being made this silent, deadly, almost female ninja assassin type person, and I can't say nothing. I can just smile evilly and say, no one is ready for Asuka. I'm not going to get over that way. So I'll start my own YouTube channel where you see me being a happy-go-lucky, bouncy, excitable, childlike, charismatic person, and maybe I'll catch on, and guess what? It worked. That's why the WWE ain't too quick to close that down. She ain't making no money off that. If, you know, I mean, it might be a monetized channel, but the pennies that she's making off that, I don't think they're concerned about. At all. And that's not her primary objective for doing it. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say. If tomorrow AJ Styles said, I'm starting, you know what? In my spare time, I'm a cook, and I'm going to start a cooking channel on YouTube. And I'm not going to monetize it or anything. It's just a, you know, AJ Styles recipes. They're not going to do anything about that. They don't care. I'm telling you right now, they don't care. What they care about is if he says, I'm going to write a book called AJ Styles WWE Phenomenon Recipes from the Ring. Then they're going to say, oh, no, you're not. Not unless you give us a cut of that money. See what I mean? So that's where it's different. You're not going to see Asuka's channel closed down. So now ask yourself, how come the other wrestlers just don't do that? If that's all they want to do is connect with their fans, do it. Do it. So you get my point, Mike. I mean, I think there's greed on both sides here.
Right. And another thing is you're not going to see Lana's YouTube channel closed down either.
Right.
Because she said some pretty horrible things about the WWE on her channel, but she doesn't make money about it. She doesn't make money off of it. She still connects with her fans, but she doesn't make money off of it. So much like Oscar, you're not going to see that channel. And you're sure as hell not going to see them try to shut down Xavier Woods, you know. So
just the Twitch channel, but not the YouTube. I don't think no.
So that's the case. And look, we see, yeah. It appears that they're trying to bury her or something like that. Because how many weeks in a row has she been put through a table and all that stuff with Lana? But obviously, I'm reading it wrong, because from what I'm hearing and from what you've said, they're trying to push Lana.
Yeah.
So obviously, I read that wrong. I mean, the number of times she's been put through a table, you know.
Well, at first I thought they were burying her, and when it became like 3 and 4 times. But then you got to realize the WWE doesn't give that much TV time to people they're burying. You just don't see them. You know what I mean? They just cease to actually exist. And that's not what they're doing with Lana. I mean, they're putting her as a member of the Survivor Series team. So, quite obviously, they're not burying her. Quite obviously, they got plans. You don't devote TV time to someone you have no plans for over and over and over again. You just don't do it. So, yeah, there's something going on. Now, how do we know that the WWE Network isn't going to say, look, we're going to give you access. We're going to give AJ Styles his own broadcast. We're going to give Aleister Black and Zelina Vega their own broadcast. We're going to make the platform for all of these wrestlers to have their own sort of Twitch channels, except their channels are going to be on the WWE Network. How do we know that's not in the works? That would make more sense than anything, because then you'd have to have the WWE Network to tune into those channels. We don't know what's in the works. So the WWE could be pulling all this because they're going to actually mimic what Twitch and Cameo is doing, but they're going to do it in their own format. And if that's the case, it makes perfect sense. You know, if I'm a hamburger joint and I own a successful hamburger joint and I say, well, you can work somewhere else and you're working in a pizzeria. And I say, look, we're expanding. And we're going to also open up pizzerias. You got to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? Because now we're in direct competition with these people. Well, that could be the WWE. They could be saying, we're going to, in a short period of time, we're going to be in direct competition with Twitch or Cameo. And for that reason, you can't work for them. Makes sense. Out of all the people, I think AJ Styles took the right approach. He said, look, let's not panic. And let's not consider this, you know, the end of something. Let's consider it a pause while both sides kind of figure out where we're going to go with this, because something will come of it. It's not just going to be, well, this is the way it is and goodbye. There's something's going to come of this. And he's probably right. But again, I'd reiterate, they can just go on YouTube and connect with their fans anytime they want, or they can go to Facebook Live and connect with their fans anytime they want. Anytime they want. So it's not about connecting with the fans. Please don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. It's about being compensated. Anyway, what will we see on SmackDown tonight? Well, I'm sure we will see the fallout from Hell in a Cell, which should be really, really interesting. There is absolutely no question that the Roman Reigns Uso feud has been exactly what professional wrestling is designed to be. For all you people who are 14, 15, maybe even up to 16, 17 years old, and never really got into the era or went back in history and saw how professional wrestling kind of became what it was and how it captivated so many people, now you're starting to figure it out. This is an old school angle. This is exactly what pro wrestling used to be, except for all of you newbies, this was almost every feud. In other words, the Roman Reigns Uso thing would have been one storyline, and you would have had six or seven running just as good that involved other people and other aspects of, life. WWE's not doing that. They're just doing the one. But you're on your social media account saying how wonderful this is. This is the greatest thing the WWE's ever done. Yeah, well, guess what? Times it by five, and that's what the WWE used to be, because you'd have just as good of angle involving two guys, and then you'd have five more angles that were equal involving other people, involving a tag team, involving this, involving that. You would have had all these angles coming together, and that's what WrestleMania ended up being. So many wonderful angles, and they all came together at one big event. That's what WrestleMania used to be, excuse me. That's what WrestleMania used to be. The culmination of all these angles that were so brilliant, clashing in one big event. Now it's just throw a bunch of matches together. It's not what WrestleMania used to be. They would do these angles for months and months, and you'd build up the heat on one angle, and you'd build up the heat on another angle, and a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one, and there'd be at least five or six that were just as good as the Roman Reigns Usos angles, and they'd all come to a head in one spot, WrestleMania. That's what WrestleMania used to be, Mike, and I think young people don't realize.
It really used to be that. And look, another minor angle is that's almost this is the whole thing with Aaliyah, Mysterio, and Murphy.
Right.
You know, that has the feel of an old school angle, too. You know, now,
yep.
All the stuff around it, maybe not, but that particular part of it does, you know. And that, like you said, that's what it used to be. Hell, go back to, you don't even have to go back to the 1980s. Go back to the Attitude Era. how many different angles that right. they have running at any given time on any on SmackDown or on Raw.
Absolutely right. And, oh, isn't it such a coincidence that both of these angles are SmackDown angles and SmackDown ratings are way up and Raw ratings are way down? There's a mystery, huh? How come the WWE don't take a look at that and say, well, that's exactly why? It's exactly why. We need more compelling storylines, which we've only said for 3 years on this show. You need more compelling storylines. One last thing we want to talk about is apparently Matt Riddle is getting his name changed. And they are going to drop the Matt from his name, and he's just going to be Riddle. Which has led the fans to literally just laugh out loud on social media and say this is absolutely ridiculous. And then Matt Riddle tweets, well, calm down, everybody. That's how everybody refers to me anyway, as Riddle. My whole life, people just say, hey, Riddle, so it's no big deal. It's pretty cool. I like it. Okay, well, it's not going to help. If you want to do something with Matt Riddle, my suggestion is drop the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure meets Fast Times at Ridgemont High angle. Drop the Cheech and Chong nonsense and make him a serious competitor. Because as I'm a beach dude, coming out in my flip-flops, looking like I'm high, ain't working for nobody. You understand? You're not special. Triple H's blue blood thing wasn't working. He ditched it. Steve Austin's ringmaster thing wasn't working. He ditched it. Bo Dallas's Bo Leave thing wasn't working. He ditched it. At some point, you have to realize, I like this angle, but it ain't working, so you ditch it. Well, guess what? The Stoner Beachcomber dude ain't working. Ditch it. Which do you want? To play a character you like or to be a successful professional wrestler? Because the angle you have right now is not going to work in WWE. I told everybody it wasn't going to. I knew it. I told you it was going to be more annoying than anything else, and that's what it is. It's annoying. He has the talent. He just doesn't have the gimmick. So change it. It's not like this is the first time anybody's ever changed a gimmick. Just change it. Just like I guess they're changing Chad Gable back to Chad Gable because the Shorty G thing sure as hell didn't work, huh? I do need to say this, though. I need to make an apology, and my apology is to Jack Swagger. A few weeks ago on this show, I got all over Jack Swagger for saying, how dare you tweet Andrew Yang saying when the new administration comes in, maybe the WWE people will be treated fairly. And I said, you know, this is ridiculous with this. You can say whatever you want if you're a liberal, but you can't say whatever you want if you're a conservative. Well, it turns out that Jack Swagger, in fact, is a conservative. And he said, I'm not voting for the new administration. What I was trying to say is that if anyone, any politician, I don't care who it is, can help alleviate this status of we are supposedly independent contractors, when obviously we're not, I would appreciate it. Well, I still say, Jack, that's not the government's job. The government's job is not to correct contracts that you signed, but obviously, I thought that he was intimating that government was allowing this or somehow the Trump administration was backing this decision, and that's not what he was saying. He was basically saying, I disagree with this, and I think it needs to be challenged. That's fair. If you guys all want to form some kind of a thing and say we want to challenge this as workers, keep the politicians out of it. If you want to challenge this as workers, yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. If the workers want to get together and say we have now as a group decided this is unfair and we want change, that's your right. That's your American freedom right, Mike.
It really is. But then again, remember what the last time somebody challenged that type of thing in wrestling, remember what happened?
Yes, I do. You know,
that was the body, you know, Jesse Ventura.
Right.
And basically the way he tells it is Hulk Hogan put the Knicks on, put the Knicks on it, you know?
Yep.
So he could get everybody to agree with him to go after it. So now, granted, it may be a little bit different nowadays, but then again, yeah, he has the right to say what he said. Maybe he chose the wrong words to say it in, but he has the right to say it, you know?
Just like
Jackson Riker has the right to say, you know, I like President Trump, you know?
Right.
You know?
Right. See, my thought, Mike, was what I thought Jack Swagger was trying to say is the only reason this is taking place is because the Trump administration and the McMahons are buddy-buddy, and when the new administration comes in, they'll take care of all of our problems. And I disagree with that, and I think you're an idiot if you do that, because what you're saying is, I want government to take care of my mistakes, and I don't agree with that. I disagree with that totally. You need to take care of yourself. The government works for you, okay? But you're not supposed to, they're not supposed to be your mother and father or your surrogate lawyer. They're supposed to just be, you elect them and they work for the people. So that's what I thought he was trying to say, is I want big government to interfere in a business and change a law. Now what he's saying is, no, that's not what I said. What I wanted to intimate is people like Andrew Yang, who are calling for this, they're right. And what we need to do is we need to get people behind us so that when we do make our move and say we don't want to be treated this way, we have some backup. We have some legal backup other than just a bunch of wrestlers. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I wasn't okay with what I thought he was saying, and I don't think he said it very well, because when you just tweet Andrew Yang and say when the new administration comes in, this will be taken care of, it seems to intimate that you're waiting for them to take care of your problems, Mike.
It really does, and that's the thing. But and obviously a lot of people, and maybe he should have just let Andrew Yang let it slide and kept his mouth shut, you know, that would have probably been a prudent thing to do, but Jack Swagger, you know, and look, we've said about Jack Swagger, that gimmick that the WWE had, Jake Hager now, but when he was Jack
right.
Swagger, that gimmick they had him doing, they didn't take it far enough, but that's all about the WWE and how they run things and stuff like that, and we've talked about that before, but yeah, Jake Hager has the right to say what he wants to say, and he's doing it under, you know, they, and to tell you the truth, if you look at it, he's doing it, yeah, he signed a name, and he's as Jake Hager, but the AEW can't control it because it's his name, it's his real name, you know.
Right. Yeah, look, And there's something else we want to talk about here before. I know we ran a little long, and the people in the chat room are going to be eliminated from the conversation. But apparently Chris Jericho was outed, as if that's really a word. Chris Jericho was outed for donating to the Trump campaign. And everyone hit him up with, you're this and you're that and you're the other thing. Are you serious? Are you serious? So this man can't have a different opinion than you, or he's no good, right? We better take a step back as a country and really take a look at what media has done to us, because they brainwashed you to death. They brainwashed you to death. People were saying Chris Jericho is the greatest of all time. Goat, 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 goat. Are now saying, what an idiot, what a loser, what a creep. Why? Because he disagrees with you. Grow the F up. Grow up. But I guarantee you that if he had donated to the other guy, he would have been the role model of the world. Please, spare me, okay? Spare me the sanctimonious crap. Because that's exactly what it is. And I'm glad to see some people are coming out of their shell and saying, I'll take the abuse. You want to give me the abuse? Fine, because I have the right to my opinion. And I would say that if it was the other guy. If people were saying, well, if you ever said you're voting for Biden, you get yelled at and screamed at and hollered at and called names, I would say that's wrong. Everybody wants diversity, right? But you don't want diversity of thought. That's what kills me. We're for diversity. All ethnicities, all sexualities, all everything. Everybody needs to be diverse, 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 unless you think different than us. No diversity of thought. That's a no-no. Well, folks, guess what? People are beginning to say, I've had enough of that, which I predicted would happen. So before you kill Chris Jericho, because he has a different opinion than you, you better realize that if you're going to continue to do that with everyone that has a different opinion than you for your whole life, you ain't going very far in life. Because you're going to be working with people whose opinions on everything are different. From important things to non-important things. I can't imagine a world where someone doesn't like pizza. But guess what? If someone says to me, oh, I think pizza's disgusting, I don't think they're an idiot. I just think, well, they have different taste than me. I can't figure it, but okay. You don't like pizza? That's okay with me. It's sad and it's ridiculous to see that. Oh, but when he was paying for the funeral of some wrestlers that the WWE wouldn't pay for, he was the greatest guy in the world. When he signed with AEW and all, he's the greatest guy in the world. The problem isn't him. The problem is you. The problem is you and the fact that we are now living in a society where if you disagree with someone, you are trash, as opposed to you just have a diverse view than me. There are people who write to me on a regular basis and say, I love CM Punk. I think he's the greatest wrestler of all time. Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoy him, and I'm glad you think he's good. I think he's terrible. I think if you took the mic away from CM Punk, you got a mid-card wrestler at best. At best. And then a mid-card wrestler with a really, really, really lousy attitude and a chip on their shoulder. But if you love him, great. I'm glad you're enjoying him. Doesn't make me think, well, that's a dumb wrestling fan. I don't say that. Okay. You like him, you like him. I like Enzo. People get on me all the time and say, Enzo Amore has to be the worst wrestler the WWE ever signed. Okay. I disagree. I think he had a great, great charismatic nature about him. I think he drew fans. And I think if he was a wrestler, it didn't matter because he was still someone you could utilize. But if you think he's terrible, that's fine. I don't care. That's what makes the sport so great. Or I should say the business because it's not a sport. That's what makes the business so great is people like different people. Why can't we have that in regular society? So, yeah, it was a little disappointing to see how the fans so quickly turned on Chris Jericho, Mike.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They are, you know, and they shouldn't have turned. And you're right about this stuff, you know, and the fact of the matter is we got too many, snowflakes and that are either following the business right now or in the business that they get offended at just about anything, you know. And
well, here's a case in point, Mike. Mia Yim got blasted on social media because they said she was making fun of people with seizures. Can you believe that? Number one, who said she had a seizure? I never said she had a seizure. I never considered that that's what she was supposed to be doing. I thought she was breaking out in hives or something, or she was possessed. Now she says that's what it was supposed to be, possession. And they're saying, well, this was really horrible, and there are people who have seizures. So let me get this straight. In professional wrestling, we have to be so politically correct, we can't pretend to be having a seizure, but we can pretend to beat somebody half to death with a chair. I mean, well, where are we going with this?
I don't know. So where are we going? And I mean, it goes back to who's currently the wrestlers in this thing and in the business and who currently watches it. Yeah, we got some people like us that are in our late 40s, 50s, whatever, 40s and 50s that understand the business from old school fashion, but most of the people who are watching it 35 years old, you know, and they, you know, that's what they are.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say this. Congratulations to Jake Hager, by the way, who remains undefeated in his mixed martial arts career. He victory over Brandon Carlton at Bellator 250. Yeah, he's a real deal. He's not CM Punk, okay? He's not a guy with a chip on his shoulder who says, I'm tougher than everybody else, and I could walk right into an MMA cage and beat up everybody and then tap out in 10 seconds. He's the real deal, and he's done it quietly, and he's done it with some dignity. So good for him, Todd. He's undefeated in his MMA career.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, he's undefeated in his MMA mixed martial arts career. You know, like you said about Jake Hager, and he's doing pretty good over there.
Yeah, I mean he's proven, Mike, he can juggle both very successfully.
Right. And I mean, look, we talked about, you know, Lesnar. We don't like Lesnar's attitude at times, but Lesnar's one of these guys that's done it.
Yep.
So is Lashley. He's one of the guys that have done it. And now Jake Hager.
Yep.
You know, they just went about their business and are accruing pretty good records in MMA. If it's Bellator, whatever, UFC, doesn't matter. They've done it.
Yeah, I mean, and he's doing it without a huge chip on his shoulder saying, I'm the toughest guy on the planet. He's just going ahead and doing it, you know, which CM Punk could take a lesson from. Anyway, we'll see what happens tonight on SmackDown. We'll be back here on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
WrestleChat Radio is a savage.